Hey everyone, welcome back to Crescendo, the podcast where we amplify the voices of women in business. I'm Rachel Lipchansky, your host, business strategist, mentor, and champion for women to help them uncover their voice and build businesses they love. Today, I'm thrilled to share my conversation with Rivka Leibowitz, a certified financial planner and founder of Living Financially Smarter in Israel. Rivka is not only a trusted voice in personal finance, but also the creator of a vibrant Facebook community with over 40,000 members. In our chat, Rivka opens up about her journey from a secure yet unfulfilling banking career to building her business. She shares how she overcame fear, pioneered personal finance education in Israel, and developed her Living Financially Smarter methodology over 16 transformative years. We dive into her advice for small business owners, starting with understanding key numbers and how small financial decisions can create massive long-term impact. Rivka also talks about the power of building authentic relationships, her approach to growing her Facebook group organically, and her vision for empowering women to take control of their finances through conferences and events. Throughout our conversation, we connect on shared values of authenticity, community, and personal growth. And Rivka's story is a real testament to the transformation that comes when we step outside our comfort zones, trust our intuition, and use our voice to make a difference. I can't wait for you to listen into this episode. Let's dive in. Rivka, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I am so delighted. Just before we pressed record, we were just saying how it's funny how our paths actually haven't even crossed. I've been in Israel for 3.5 years, and both of us being in the business space here, this is a delight to have you here and to really spend some time getting to know you and sharing you with my audience. So I would love for you just to start by telling us a little bit about your journey to starting Living Financially Smarter and how you became the go-to resource for English speakers living in Israel.
Sure. So like any good story, it's evolved and happened by accident, and I didn't know where I was going with this. Basically, I always knew I was good with numbers, and it came naturally to me. And when I was finishing high school, I remember discussing with my friends like what everyone wants to do. And I said, I want to help people with their money. But it wasn't a profession. Who does that? It didn't exist. So I looked into business school and accounting and things like that, because that was where people wanted to deal with numbers and money went. But I always knew I wanted to go in this direction, but I ended up working with an investment firm and then working as a banker. And I always wanted to do this. And then I saw one day that it actually exists now, and there's an actual profession and people need this and there's demand. And at that point, I was like, you know what? I'm going to make the scariest move of my life. I mean, many people have made this scary move. I really respect everyone who's done it, because I was so scared. I was at a bank job with tenure. Like, I could have stayed there for life. I was miserable. It didn't align with my values, etc. Lots to talk about there. But I was really scared. I didn't know what would be. Like, I'm leaving this bank with tenure. What's going to be? Am I going to manage to do it? Are people going to hire me? And I took the leap of faith and I did it. And it was so scary. And it's been the most incredible journey.
That is a great story. I love that. I love like thinking back to your younger you and that you named it so early on. And I think our listeners can completely relate to that fear involved with taking that leap of faith. It really is. It's a leap of faith, because there's no roadmap. There's no like specific blueprint that you can buy off the shelf and just follow it to do the thing. So what did those early days of your business look like?
So when I first left, it was just this open, like, okay, what's going to be? So I ended up talking to somebody, random person, and he's like, oh my goodness, I totally need this. And then I spoke to someone else and they were like, well, actually, we want to know if we could do this and that with our finances. Can you help us? And then I spoke to someone else and she was like, oh, my finances are such a mess. Could you just come and organize them? And I got started. It was slow. It took time. It's been a journey. I've evolved and developed, as we all do in business, since then. But I think those first few clients who I was just like out there talking to people and they were like, oh, can you help with something? And I was able to say yes. That got me on the path.
Yeah. And then I assume you then sort of like put together the framework for how you worked with your clients over time, right?
Oh, absolutely. At first, it was just like very ad hoc, like do whatever. I always had this internal sense of how people's money should run and what makes sense. But I absolutely took that and I developed from that an entire Living Financially Smarter method, which sort of encompasses all the different aspects of finance, personal finance, et cetera. But that took years. That was not something that at the beginning I even thought I was going in that direction. I think when we start a business, especially anyone here who hasn't yet started a business who's listening, you're like, oh, I'll do whatever. You just don't know where it's going to take you.
Yeah. And I think you have to be really comfortable accepting that and knowing that you're going to figure it out along the way. And it takes that trial and error. It takes like hanging up the shingle and taking the first client who walks in and helping them and then learning what you like about that kind of work, what doesn't resonate for you, what worked for the client, what didn't work for the client, and then crafting that methodology as you go. And I love that you just noted that it took years to develop that and to really come to that. Several of my clients that come to me, they're like, I feel like I'm not ready because it's not all buttoned up. And I'm like, yeah, that actually means you are ready, because if you wait until you're buttoned up, you will still be at that job.
Right. And also, like, I've been in this for 16 years now. Yeah, I started January 2009. So it's 16 years. And like, I'm still feedback. What helped the client? How can we do better? Like, you're always developing. You're always improving personally on our journey and the business and the way we do things, the whole thing. There's a lot of development going on always.
Absolutely. Okay, you have really garnered quite a following. You have a Facebook group of over 40,000 members, and you've become the go-to financial resource person in Israel for English speakers. How did you get there? How did you grow that group and really make the name for yourself that you've made?
So I think when I started out, again, like everything else I've said, I didn't know where it was going, but someone suggested open a Facebook group. And that's really where I began to see the power of my voice. Was like, I just begin with like explaining basic concepts. Like, I remember posting, what is interest? What does interest mean on your money? And I'm posting like, gas prices are going up. And people were like, oh, really? Thank you so much for telling me. Oh my goodness, this makes a difference. Okay, how do I get interest in my bank deposit? Whatever it is. And you're like, oh, what I know is really valuable to others. So I started growing the group with no adverts, not for me or for anyone else, just really helping people, really just putting information out there, just sharing with no alternative agenda, with no sales pitch each time, like, oh, do this and call me and call me. I didn't do that, to the point that very often people on the Facebook, like, Riffy, you have a great Facebook. Do you happen to know any financial planners? And I'm like, oh, actually, I'm a financial planner, which maybe isn't, you know, the best way to do it. But like, I really believe that part of the group growing organically to 40,000 real people, we check every person that wants to join, that they look real, that they are either living in Israel or might be living in Israel. And I think that how helpful, it's not just me, we have a few other people that help me with the group, how helpful they have been. Danny and Benjamin specifically are two moderators with me. And just keeping it real, keeping it helpful, not being a sales pitch, just being a great resource for sharing information has really helped to grow. I remember when I first started, I'm like, oh, maybe my mom will join. And she's like, sure, I can do that. You know, and then you're like,
we can always count on our mothers to be like the first Facebook group attendee, the first email list subscriber.
Exactly. But you're like, okay, will anyone join beyond that? And we're at 40,000 people, which is incredible. And I'm so thankful for that.
It really is. And this point about value first is so big. So often people think about marketing as sales. And they're really two different things. And of course, we have to mix in those calls to action within our marketing, or else you get people asking like, oh, do you know a business coach? Do you know a financial advisor, right? But so much of our marketing, when we just lead with value, like how can we be helpful? How can we help you get to the next place that you want to go? How can we bring information to you that you might not have found easily accessible elsewhere? How can we even just bring your awareness to ideas that you might not have thought of? And these are just like questions that people can lead with when they're coming up with, what do they say in their marketing?
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. And yeah, I mean, I totally see it. And then because people know like, oh, I need to know a financial thing. Oh, go to Living Financially Smarter. Like they'll go to the group. Then that's how I personally have also developed that following that you mentioned before, because it's not just the group. There's a person answering their questions and a person who hopefully, no, a person who's been trustworthy and answered them properly for 15 years or however long it's been is reliable.
Yeah. Yeah. The human element, I think when people's businesses grow and they lose that, I think it's easy to get lost along the way in the business because people want to connect to the business owners, right? They want to connect to the people who are behind the screens. We live in this digital world, and it's so important to retain that. So it sounds like you're doing a beautiful job. How else now are you leveraging the group to serve your business? Clearly, you must mention that you're a financial advisor now. What else are you doing to leverage that?
So, I mean, we've taken the groups also offline more recently. We've had two annual conferences, which were just days to really learn about finance for people. It's something that didn't even exist until we did it. Like there's been maybe private events to sell something, like come and learn about something, but just a day to come and really learn about finance, it is what we've taken this group beyond. I wrote a book about Smarter called Smarter Israeli Banking, about how the banking system works, because there's so many things there that people don't even know how to ask. Now, you've been here 3.5 years, you said?
Correct.
I'm sure you've, you know, met the banks and seen that it's not all smooth sailing. It's not all easy. It's not all clear and obvious. Or suddenly you get hit with fees and you're like, why am I paying so much money? So I wrote the book to really get that message out there of, well, people don't even know what to ask, which is why we wrote the book. So we're doing that. We're doing the conference. We're doing a women's event coming up. And we're really trying to get the information out there much bigger than before.
That's awesome. Okay. I definitely want to hear more about your women's event. What are some of the setbacks that you've experienced in growing your business over the last 16 years?
I think the biggest challenge when I got started was the fact that it didn't exist. There was no personal finance really out there, very little. There was no models to even copy, really. It's like, well, nobody's really talking about what's happening with the interest rates and the prices. And it was being talked about more on the sort of high-level financial places, but it wasn't being talked about to what I'm going to call your average person. And being translated like, okay, interest rates are going up this year. This is going to mean that your mortgage price is going to go up. Like really translating that. And that was one of the biggest challenges, is it didn't exist. And I had to create this. And I had to create the concepts and create the conference even, or write the book. I kept saying after we left the bank, someone should really write a book and explain banking in Israel. Someone should do this. And I'm like, nobody's doing it. Somebody should do it. Come on. And then I was like, okay, I have the information. This is on me. And I think that was very much part of the challenge of me building a business, was it was just territory that was not done, unfamiliar. Nowadays, there's a lot of personal finance podcasts and personal finance websites, and there's a lot of that, but there wasn't so much at the time, and there was nothing in Israel, basically.
Yeah. Why do you think there's been more of that boom, and also why everybody, no matter of their financial capacity, needs to be investing time and energy into understanding their finances on this level? Like, why is personal finance such an important, valuable tool for people.
So I laugh because my grandmother always asks this. She's like, in my day, we didn't need this. She's 99. And she's always like, why do people need this? And I think that, first of all, finance has got a lot more complex. Second of all, there's a lot more what I call silent gains. I'll give you an example. And this is a big part of the personal finance picture. Is if I go to work and maybe I'm married and my husband goes to work and we bring home a salary and we get pensions from work and we think, okay, we're all good. I don't need a personal finance advisor, right? I don't need a financial planner. I'm not very wealthy and I'm not struggling, so I don't need a personal finance advisor. And very often these people are missing huge things. Like I'll just give you, this might be an extreme example, but an example. But if I'm 30 years old and I start with a pension fund, which in Israel is compulsory, but even in countries where it isn't compulsory, we should be depositing in some sort of retirement pension fund, whether tax deferred, not tax deferred, but we should be taking care of this, okay? If I put in 18%, which is what's done in Israel, of an average, well, maybe a little over an average salary, okay, for the 35 years between age 30 and 65, and I'm on one track versus another track, okay, a lower risk track versus the higher risk, and none of these are crazy high risk because the government doesn't let very high risk pension funds exist, the difference could easily be 5 to 10%. That difference could make a difference between 3 million shekel, and it doesn't matter if it's dollars, shekels, pounds, any currency, wherever you're listening to this from, to 9 million. Okay, that's the difference in the growth over 35 years between making 5% on it and 10% on it. That is tremendous. And the person who got the job and has the pension fund and just puts it and isn't thinking beyond is going to have, you know, 6 million shekel, pounds, dollars, whatever it is, less because they didn't pay attention, because they didn't know what they were doing. We have the same with tax. We have the same with donations. We have the same with so many aspects of our personal finances, whether it's taking, not using the tax benefits at the end of the year, whether it's taking the wrong mortgage. Like there's so many little decisions that we make that can totally mess up our financial path or look like they're okay in our financial path. But if we did something a little smarter and a little better, we could be in a totally different financial path. Why do we want to be on a financial path that's different? Because we could live better. We could maybe help our kids more. We could maybe have more leisure time, whatever it is. I'm not about like we have to be multimillionaires. Totally not. I'm just about living well and doing what we want to do, whether that's traveling, whether that's spending more time with our children. If our business or ourselves, we're smarter with our money, we genuinely can find more time for what's important to us.
I love it. And those big numbers just tell the whole story.
Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Do you primarily work with individuals or with business owners or both?
I work with both. I work with both. And very, very often it comes hand in hand because I'm sure you see this a lot. Someone decides to be a business owner. They're amazing at what they do, but they're not good at the money side, at the business side. I mean, we share this in common. We see this all the time.
Yes.
They're not good at that side. So they're coming to us, but then they're coming to us for that. But then they realize that, you know what? My personal finances need some tweaking also. So I'm working with both, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Okay. So for the small business owners who are listening, especially those living in Israel, where should somebody start? Because let's say they have a sense of what's coming into their business and what's going out and they're making ends meet. And like you said, based on your example, it's like that person who's just like, they think, okay, I don't have so much money in the bank. I don't really need a financial advisor. I'm also not struggling immensely. So I don't need to seek somebody out because I'm in the dumps. This is just like your straightforward situation. Where should they start?
They probably should start with what we call key numbers. Like, okay, it's all working now, but what are my numbers, either key numbers for now, like the business is to make this amount for me to take home that amount. Take home that amount translates into whatever, but also long-term key numbers. I want to be able to retire at 60. Okay, your number is 60. How much do you need to have then? What's your key number? What needs to be in your funds? What do you need to have got to by then? What are the steps you need to take to get that? So there's always questions and there's always things people can do. And very often people will come to me who have a lot of money. Okay. And they're like, okay, the business is making tons of money. I have all this spare money. What do I do? Meaning we don't only have questions when we're like tight for money. Very often people come when they have a lot of money. Should we be investing more in the business? Should we be changing how we do things? Should I take more and pay more tax? Like, how should I deal with this? Also comes up.
Okay, that's helpful. Key numbers. I talk a lot about that in my business. Also, because if you don't know, a lot of the clients who come to me are still trying to kind of figure out how they make money, right? Like, how many of those services or products does it take to reach their goals? And where should they be priced at? So that's all part of those key numbers that Rivka is talking about. Okay, what is next for Living Financially Smarter? You've put the book out. You've got this robust and growing Facebook group. You're running these conferences. What's around the bend?
We're doing bigger and more events. That's our direction now. And I mentioned that we're starting this women's event. It's not even been publicized, so you're one of the first to know. We're doing this women's event towards the end of February. I'm finding too many women are leaving their finances up to other people or to nobody. Like, yeah, I'll break my business or I don't have business. They're employed and then they leave it up to whatever. And they're scared to ask and they're not asking and they don't know where to ask. And we're having an event for women who are like, we're really giving them the starting out points. But like for people of all levels of assets and all levels of knowledge, like, we're actually starting out. It's not budgeting. It's none of that. It's really understanding our money, ourselves. There'll be lots of surprises there with different things we're going to start with. But that's our direction, is really educating a lot more people and helping a lot more people live financially smarter.
I love it. Deepening your impact speaks straight at my own mission and especially supporting women. So that brings me to who we become through our businesses. So much of business and growing our businesses, I think it's about personal development and actually who we become. How would you say you've changed over the past 16 years?
Wow, huge. I mean, building the business, building Living Financially Smarter, has profoundly transformed my life. And I don't say that lightly. I mean, every word of it. I was very quiet, much more drawn to just working with numbers and staying quiet and keeping in my corner. And I never imagined I'd be a public speaker. There's a joke by Jerry Seinfeld says that we hate public speaking so much, we'd prefer to be in the casket than giving the eulogy. Okay. I was like that. I was like, I am making it through my life without ever public speaking. And I changed. And I've spoken in front of thousands of people. And had you told me that when I started, I'd be like, no, you're joking. Of course, I'm not speaking in public. That's not me. Had you told me I'd author a book, I'd have also said, absolutely no way. I was always the one who was like running away from writing papers. Don't make me write a paper. I can do numbers, not writing. And I wrote a book. So it's really, really changed me. And I've also been able to help a lot of people change and change their path and change their thinking with finances and change how they see finances and even themselves financially. And that also has given me a lot to think about and a lot of, I don't know, joy. And it's really changed my life, bringing that joy to other people and really tweaking the financially smarter lifestyle for myself and for others. And I have changed so much. I did not expect it. Your podcast wasn't out when I went into business. We didn't realize that connection between like our personal development and running a business, or I didn't, at least when I first went out.
Yeah. I talk a lot on this podcast about my first business, which I launched over 20 years ago, and I ran it for 5 years. I ended up selling it and getting out of the fashion industry. That was before my kids were born. But during that time, there were no business mentors. There were no podcasts. People were not talking about, I mean, there weren't even that many women like starting small businesses, But people were not talking about, like, how can we lift others up? How can we educate people in this space? How can we share our knowledge with one another and really help others succeed? So I feel that so much when you talk about 16 years ago and, you know, like who you had to become in order to get to this place, it just resonates so wholly for me. And to everybody listening, I want them to hear that, yeah, you don't necessarily picture yourself on that stage in front of thousands of people, and that might not be your dream, but just to keep your mind open to growing and to continually becoming and stepping into your potential and being open to what doors become available to you and what those possibilities are that present themselves. Because I think when we are, like, the journey is joyful and it's so rewarding. And look, you get to a place that you didn't even imagine was possible.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. That is 100% it. And the opportunities come. We don't always even realize that this is going to open a door to another path. We're just like, oh, okay, someone asked me to speak. Okay, I'll go. It's a small group. And then someone there is like, oh, by the way, I work for this organization. You need to come speak here. And before you know it, you're a public speaker.
Yeah. And also the message that you can do hard things, right? If you pictured yourself in the casket instead of on the stage, just know you can do hard things. You can push through that, the fear and the unknown of what those skills take to command a stage in front of 1,000 people or whatever it is. So that's great. I want to ask you one last question, which is something I ask all my guests. And that is, what is one tip that you have for other women who are striving to honor their authentic voice in business?
You might get this answer a lot, but this is what I feel is the most true answer is, intuitively, we probably know where we want to go. We're not doing it because we're scared. And as you said, with my public speaking, like, I was so scared. I can't even explain the fear. I was so scared. I was so scared to do my business. I was so scared. And that tip, my tip is just get past the fear. The fear is there to protect you. It's not there to stop you. It's there to stop you jumping off somewhere that's dangerous, but it's not there to stop you doing whatever the step is to get that business out there and do it.
Beautiful. One of the reasons why I don't prepare my guests for that last question is because I do want to hear just exactly what comes to mind first for them. And even if it's the same thread or message that comes out of several people, the way it's articulated is different. And you shared that so beautifully, that fear is not meant to stop us. I really appreciate you sharing your insights, your business journey, and everything about what you're doing, especially for those of us in Israel who are navigating a unique system financially. And you're just putting out so much beautiful and useful content into the world. So on behalf of all of us, I just want to thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. And thank you for sharing your wisdom.
Thanks, Rivka. Hey, listener. If you were as inspired by Rivka's story as I was, I want you to take a moment to reflect on this. You too have a voice inside of you, a voice full of wisdom, passion, and potential. It's a voice that's ready to be unleashed and utilized to create a thriving, fulfilling business that aligns with who you truly are. Now, if you've been holding back, unsure of where to start, what to do next, or overwhelmed by the how, I'm here to help you. Together, we can chart your path forward and build a business that not only supports your life, but also reflects your values and vision. Let's just start the conversation. Head over to my website at realimpact.com, that's R-E-L-impact.com, and click on the schedule a consult call button to grab a spot on my calendar. It's time to take that first step toward creating the business and life you've been dreaming of. Thank you for joining me today. Thank you for sharing this space with me. Until next time, keep amplifying your voice, leaning into your potential, and stepping into the incredible possibilities that await you.